Welcome to the Carve a Monster Hunter podcast, where you can bone up on hunting monsters. Episode 85, your host SBJ.
And I'm Micah.
Talk to you about the lava sloths, which is a real thing, but no one reported on it still. But we have it.
So weird.
We have it here.
It's Valentine's Day.
It is Valentine's Day. This episode's coming out on Happy Valentine's Day to all our fellow hunters.
Happy Valentine's Day. And happy Valentine's Day to you. And we appreciate you sitting down on your Valentine's Day. Pull up, turn us on, and then pull up a chair. Put your laptop or your phone or whatever you're listening to us on the chair. Sit across from us, light a candle. And let's share some steak together. Have a nice romantic.
You really painted a picture there.
Carve Valentine's Day together.
Wait, it's not steak. What's the thing you cook? It's like I guess it's steak, maybe.
What? Meat? Oh, in Monster Hunter?
Yeah.
I mean, it's steak.
It's like meat.
It's a big hunk of meat. It's a bone-in steak.
Is that what it's supposed to be? I guess. Like, what is the plush you want with the bone and then the...
Steak, technically, is beef, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can get steaks of other things. Like, you can get a tuna steak. But a steak, everybody thinks of, it's beef. I don't think there's really beef in Monster Hunter. I don't know what you would call dinosaur meat or what dragon meat or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, that was what I was leading to. What do you call steak meat from basically a dragon?
But you get like steak and whatever as ingredients, so. And I mean, it looks like steak. We gotta go with what grounds us in our world.
I suppose, yeah. Well, we got two things to talk about this episode. We have the Witcher stuff, which just started, and we have the lava. Well, let's just talk about the new event quest in the celebration fest, anniversary fest,
appreciation fest.
I got there. So I usually browse the Google News or scanning headlines of what is being talked about in Monster Hunter. A lot of this week, which and last week to be expected, was comparing God Eater 3 to Monster Hunter, of course, because you got to get that good SEO.
Yeah.
Got to include Monster Hunter because people are probably searching for that more than God Eater. So got to compare the two, of course.
Of course.
But no one talked. Like, I could not find a single Appreciation Fest article about Great Jaggerus leaving and Lavasioth coming. Maybe I'm just not good at searching, but I just went to Monster Hunter's website, and there it was, saying new quest, and they didn't have any information on it either, but I clicked through here to the Monster Hunter wiki. Like, why was this not... Like, why 3 weeks ago did one small website report on this?
And nobody else talked about it. It's real weird.
And then it just happened, and still no one talked about it. Because the whole point of like this quest is, wasn't it because this was like Jaggerus was the most hunted monster and this was the least hunted monster? Was that the
correct? So the Monster Hunter official Twitter said Monster Hunter World Appreciation Fest is in full swing. For the second half of the event, we've added a quest to celebrate the least hunted monster of the past year, Lavasioth. Of course, you'll be handsomely rewarded and a bunch of diamond emojis because you get decorations. But I just really quick want to point out that I feel like this is maybe subconsciously directly targeting you. Because the image that's attached to this is a picture of Lavasioth, and it says, the name's Lavasioth.
Yeah, that was the quest name.
It should be called My Name Is Not Lava Sloth.
Yeah, should be. And the condition is you have to be HR 50 or higher. Just the normal fail condition, faint three times as the time expires. It is a tempered Lavasioth. And then it says here, the special quest makes hunters face against a tempered Lavasioth capable of one or two shotting even experienced and well-geared opponents. If attempting solo, it is best to be prepared with a tempered mantle and to bring tools such as pitfalls, shock traps, etc. The Lavasioth will drop face stones and decorations when it emerges from the lava and spits more powerful magma ball attacks, so make sure to pick up all the dropped shinies. Avoid killing the monster quickly so it can drop the face stone. Additionally, if players are hunting for the warped face stones, pop a lucky voucher and kill them ASAP.
Heck yeah.
But you haven't done this yet, right?
I have not, no. The replies to this tweet, however, everyone has really become quite obsessed with Greatest Jagras and is very upset that
it's gone.
Lavasioth is attempting to take its place. It's all like, you know, internet jokes, but it's pretty funny to look through the replies because everybody's like, how dare you? How dare you replace Greatest Jagras with Lavasioth? People really got keen to the giant aggressive Jagras.
Don't understand why, like with the initial press releases of the Greatest Jagras, why no one talked about this but one website.
Yeah.
Like, if it was supposed to be a secret or something, they did a good job at keeping it a secret because no one reported on it when it happened.
Also, the maybe they talked about it prior to this, but I don't ever remember them talking about it before that. The actual Monster Hunter tweet about the Lavasioth quest came like days after it actually showed up in the game. Seems like it's just really not getting the coverage that it deserves. This almost makes me like it more.
Well, speaking of events that did get coverage, the Monster Hunter World's Witcher 3 crossover event is out now on PS4 and Xbox One.
It is.
I'm sure PC people are very upset because
they are
not in sync yet still. This is off Polygon here. Monster Hunter World players can now roleplay as Geralt of Rivia as part of Capcom and CD Projekt Red's collaboration event based on The Witcher 3 The Wild Hunt. The first part of the crossover is available now to players who have reached Hunter Rank 16. A questline known as Trouble in the Ancient Forest sends Geralt on a hunt to kill Leshen using The Witcher's Silver Sword and spells known as Signs. Complete that following quest and you will earn Witcher-themed special items, resources for crafting Geralt's armor and weapon set, a unique Necker skin, and a weapon for your Palico, as well as a new gesture, title, pose, and guild card backgrounds. On February 15th, another Witcher-themed event will be available in Monster Hunter World for players who reached the Hunter Rank 50. The Woodland Spirit Monster Hunter event will send Geralt and friends after a more powerful beast, the Ancient Leshen. That time-limited contract will be available until March 1st. Completing the Woodland Spirit contract will reward players with resources needed to craft series armor and weapon sets. All of the Witcher content is available today on PS4 and Xbox One. Windows PC players will get access to it at an unspecified date.
Geralt. I think it's...
played The Witcher 3.
Geralt. Geralt. I did. I played...
Geralt.
Geralt of Rivia. I think it was like made... the point was made in the game to not call him like a weird version of Geralt. Geralt of Rivia. So I think it's Geralt.
Oh, this thing is like a two-legged
Yeah.
Deer thing.
It's humanoid.
What?
Okay, so played a little bit of The Witcher 3.
This isn't The Witcher, right? This Leishan thing?
I guess.
Oh, okay.
Let me give you some history of my relationship with The Witcher. I played the first Witcher for a little bit. I played a bit of it, and I was like, this is kind of dated. It's hard for me to like really get into this because it's kind of weird. I played some of The Witcher 2. It was really good. I just didn't have time for it. And then I played some of The Witcher 3, which is arguably the best of the trilogy. And I just always felt like I never got super into it. I've talked about this a little bit before. My brother always said, like, this is right up your alley. This is exactly the type of thing that you like. But I felt like I played maybe 3 hours of the game. So I went back and looked at how much I played just so I could get an idea of, like, if I were going to talk about it, how much I played. And I played over 10 hours of this game. And
Witcher 3.
I feel like I played barely any of it yet. But I forgot what this game feels like. I forgot what Witcher plays like until I played the quest in Monster Hunter. And it's remarkable to me how cool Monster Hunter is with just taking their gameplay and filling it with gameplay from other games that they are collaborating with. Like, we kind of saw that with the Behemoth thing, right? Like, it feels a little bit more like a raid in Final Fantasy 14 than, but it feels like a combination of the two, right? Like, it feels like a hunt, but also it has elements of a raid or a boss fight or whatever in Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah.
The Witcher quest is almost entirely, up until you fight the monster, a Witcher game. It's incredible, because one of the core elements of the Witcher games, and I remember this now after playing it, is that it's a lot of like exploring and deducing, almost like investigation. Because it's a lot of his inner monologue. You play as Geralt, who, this is like really early, so I'm going to try to like stay away from spoiling anything as far as the game goes. But he like comes through a portal into the Monster Hunter world, into the new world, which initially I kind of eye rolled at. I was like, okay. He's portaling himself into this world. I guess that's like an easy way to get the two worlds together. And I didn't get to a point in the Witcher game to experience what portals, I don't know how the portals worked or whatever.
Sure.
I do know that the main part of the like main story for The Witcher 3 is that he has a daughter and he has a wife, maybe love interest, that he's looking for. And when he comes through the portal in Monster Hunter, it's clear that he's like in pursuit of his daughter. He like kind of talks about that. And from that point on, it says, do you want to play this quest? If you do, you play as Geralt. You don't, or Geralt, or whatever. I don't remember how you pronounce it. You play as him. You don't play as your hunter. You don't use your gear. You're basically starting with nothing. You're starting from scratch, essentially. But that's the only way to play this quest, so you have to say yes. And it starts with you walking out of the gates. They're talking about there's this threat, there's something happening in the ancient forest, and he's... The second that you step out of those gates and you're controlling him as a character, he's having the inner monologue that he has in The Witcher 3. Like, he's talking to himself. He's talking through, like, experiencing this new world and trying to figure out what he's doing here, what the problem is. And every little thing he does, like, if you go and you mine some ore from a rock, he talks about how it could be used maybe to smith something. Or if you pick up an herb, he says, this is this is an interesting thing that, you know, whatever. He has a line of commentary for almost anything you can do in the game, which is amazing because it's voiced by the person who voice acts his character. And it adds a ton of life to this really small, singular, like, side quest, basically. And it makes it a really unique experience. It's, like, unlike anything else that's in the game, the core game, Monster Hunter World. There's nothing else in the game that's like this. And it's really cool to see that they are so willing to take a different game's gameplay that they're collaborating with, rather than just, like, shoehorn that character in. You know, like, you see with, just as an example, like a fighting game, if there's a collaboration where they have, I don't know, they put Darth Vader and Soul Calibur or whatever. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just Darth Vader fighting in Soul Calibur, right? Like, this is not just you play as Geralt of Rivia and you're able to hunt monsters with him. You're playing like a Witcher chapter in the Monster Hunter world and in the Monster Hunter World engine, fighting Monster Hunter World monsters. It's so cool. And I didn't know really anything about it. I didn't watch the trailer. There was a trailer that came out the day that it launched. I didn't watch the trailer before I played it. I just jumped into it. And I didn't know much. I didn't know that there was a new monster entirely. So the whole time I'm playing through this, there's like, they're kind of hinting at, and he's doing his inner monologue, trying to, you know, investigate or deduce what's happening or what this threat is. And I was trying to think of, like, what monster in Monster Hunter World it could be. And it's a brand new monster. And it's not just a brand new monster. It's like a brand new, like, monster skeleton and everything. Like, it's a new, it's a completely newly developed monster just for this event. Like, humanoid, walks on two legs. Like, it's
I really thought it'd
incredible.
Be the griffin.
That made, like, the most sense to me because that's such an early game thing in The Witcher 3 that it kind of gives you a taste. It still keeps it close to Monster Hunter, but it's not that at all. And I don't know. So in the amount of time that I played with Witcher 3, there was no, I didn't encounter the Leshen, or I didn't get to a point where the Leshen was like a thing. So I still don't know what it is, but it's a really cool creature. And it makes me want to play Witcher 3 even more because I want to see like what this thing is or what its origin is or what the story is surrounding it. Cause it's such a cool, I don't know. It's like just a unique looking thing. But there's all kinds of other elements. Like, there's characters that I completely forgot about from the Witcher franchise that he talks about in his head while you're playing as him. Like, Dandelion, I remember, is one of the characters who's like a, if I'm remembering, he's like a bard. And I can't remember the name, but there's like a dwarf that also is a friend of his that's a companion. And he talks about all of these characters as he's thinking to himself about, you know, diagnosing what this thing is that's affecting the new world and or affecting the ancient forest. And it's just, it's a really cool thing. So Ciri is his daughter, and Ciri is the, I don't know if you read that or not when you read what the second half of the collaboration event.
Yeah,
is,
but I've seen the girl from Game of Thrones be in this game. Yeah.
Yeah, correct. So that's his daughter, and that's who he apparently is chasing when he comes through the portal. But I don't know what that is going to, how that's going to play into things. I do know that you fight as your own hunter when you hunt the ancient Leshen. I did see that.
So I remember when you did, because I was like, what are you doing right now? Because I think like I was. That's when like Apex came out, and I was like, oh, I need to ask Mike if he's played Apex yet. And you were like, oh, I'm doing the Monster Hunter stuff. And I was like, oh yeah. And the first thing you said was, it's really hard.
Yeah. So it's like a quest. So you have your time limit. You have your like 1 hour or 50 minute time limit or whatever, right? the second that you start being able to control Geralt or Geralt or whatever, the second that you're able to control him, the timer starts. And you're carrying out this quest with cutscenes and talking to characters, which is another cool thing that you interact with characters like researchers and you know, that you see in the Ancient Four, in the worlds. You're interacting with them, and they gave them voice acting parts just for cutscenes for him to interact with them, which is really cool. But you have all these different cutscenes and aspects of this quest, including side quests within this quest that are all styled in the same way that a Witcher side quest or Witcher quest is set up in the Witcher games, but it's all encapsulated in this 60-minute time limit. So you have to investigate what the problem is, do the side quests, and then hunt the monster all within this hour time frame, which I didn't necessarily realize that all was happening in that one time frame. So I got to a point where I did everything as far as side quests were concerned that I wanted to do, or that I think that you can do. There's two like side quests within this. And so then I got to the hunt, and I was running out of time, and I was like, how have I been hunting this long? How is this hard? And then when I went back to, because I failed it, I ran out of time and I failed it. And when I went back to do it again, that's when I realized the timer's going the entire time. So it's like, you kind of have to move a little bit. But there's some really, I don't want to talk about too much for people who haven't played it yet. I won't say specifically what it is, but there are two side quests in the quest that help you in the long run for the hunt. And you also get rewards for doing those side quests if you complete them. One of them is the one I'll just, it's not super exciting or anything, but there's a Puke Puke that you can help out that will then come and help you later on during the Leshen fight, which is kind of a neat thing. And then there's another where you have to follow some clues for a Gajalaka. And that results in one of the things I expected the least to come out of this, which is like a new thing, for a new like side story for the Gajalaka. I won't say what it is because I don't want to spoil that for anybody, because when I saw it, I was like, this is really neat. This is like a really cool thing that they're doing.
Yeah.
So I advise you, if you are playing the Witcher content, do that. Just do everything that you can in your first run to try to, you know, do everything that there is to do in that quest, because it's worth it. It really is. This is so cool. I'm so happy with this collaboration, though. It's such a like blindsiding style of gameplay that, like, I just didn't think that it would be this heavily Witcher inspired. I figured it would be like,
do you think for somebody who has zero interest as the Witcher, me and probably at least one other person listening, do you think it's still cool? Like, do you think that,
I think it is, and I would be curious to hear your opinion of it once you play it, because I think why it's interesting is because it's such a huge departure from what you've been doing for the last hundreds of hours playing Monster Hunter World, that it's like a breath of fresh air having something new that's so completely new to do in the game. I feel like it's not just for people who are interested in The Witcher, because I like still kind of was, I it, like, it's cool, but I never really got super into it, right?
Yeah.
But this made me more interested in it than I have been in the last, I don't know, however long it's been since I played apparently 10 hours of the game. I think it's enough of like an interesting thing that happens in this game that you're not used to, that's like new and fresh, that it's still interesting to people who don't care about The Witcher. But I can't say 100%, because that's not, you know, I don't know what your experience would be, but I would love to hear what your experience is playing it.
Well, I mean, like, just when I saw the Leashin, I was like, oh, that thing seems cool to hunt.
It's really cool. I hope that they do more things like this. Like, this, to me, feels like what the story aspects of Monster Hunter World should
have. I thought you were going to say, this, to me, is what The Witcher should have been.
No, I think that if they had done something similar to this for the Monster Hunter World story, I think way more people would have been invested in the actual story of the game.
Okay, sure. As instead of me of like, yeah, none of you characters really matter.
Right.
It's very corny and very...
Even the characters that,
on,
like...
But it just didn't seem like... Like, it seemed like, to me, the story in Monster Hunter was always the afterthought of like, okay, we built all the monsters, we built the combat, everything works. Okay, somebody string this together real quick before we ship it.
Sure. It feels like the Monster Hunter World story feels kind of like a prequel event before you actually start hunting, right? Like that's what I felt of it after having spent as much time as I have now post-story, is that it all was just kind of like a prequel thing to the actual game. If it were more like this, it would feel more like an actual story. Maybe they'll take from that and go with it. I do know that I looked up afterwards what level of involvement CD Projekt Red, who made The Witcher, what level involvement they had with this. And apparently they had to submit, the Monster Hunter World team had to, they got assets and certain things from The Witcher team and then had to send what they worked on back to The Witcher team for them to look it over, give suggestions and adjustments, and then send it back, and then they worked on it more, and then they sent it back to them, and then they had to approve it. So they were like very involved in it. So I'm sure a lot of the like story elements were heavily inspired by or worked on by the like actual Witcher team. But hopefully they can take some of that, what they've experienced with this or what they've learned from it and from working on this, and put that towards whatever they do next for like a story for Monster Hunter. Because it would feel good. Like one of the, and you said, you know, these characters feel in the story for Monster Hunter World, the characters feel very like kind of throwaway or kind of, you know, cringy or whatever. Even characters that like I don't care about, or I didn't really care about, like the researchers that are just kind of hanging out in the overworld. When you go into the ancient forest or you go to wherever, like they're just hanging out in these areas and you can like get little side quests from them and bring me this many herbs or whatever. Like characters that don't have anything, you interact with them as the Witcher and they have dialogue, and it's not like painful dialogue, and it's not like, I don't know. It feels really cohesive. I even saw people saying that the interactions that The Witcher has with the handler made the handler feel way more toned down and less intense or less overly happy, and made her way more tolerable to them, which is interesting.
I mean, she's no serious handler.
I mean, she's still not serious, but she's a little bit more toned down with in the context of this Witcher side story. I'm very happy with it. If you can't tell, I'm very happy with how this turned out.
No, I can sense the enthusiasm. No, that's awesome. All right, so two events then in Monster Hunter right now. My name is Lava Sloth. And the Witcher stuff. And more Witcher stuff tomorrow, the day after this podcast comes out.
Correct. And that's like the actual the actual hunt, I guess. Like, that's when the real hunt begins. Because then you get to actually hunt with your hunter and your gear and everything. So you get to hunt with a group of four. Right. So I'm excited for that. I'm excited to hunt this monster more.
Okay. Well, I think that will be our episode. I know there is probably some other things we're missing, but we have next week to cover that stuff. So, yeah. If you want to follow us on Twitter, at Dragging a Lake for me, at Micah the Brave for Micah, at Carve Podcast for the podcast's Twitter, carvepodcast.com for any old episodes. And happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
And hunters, keep on hunting those monsters.
And keep on loving them. Because it's Valentine's Day. Can you put some like romantic music on this?
You're asking a lot. Oh, really?
The Carve is hosted and produced by me, Steve Black Jr. Logo and artwork for The Carve was created by Micah, the co-host of this show. The music by Nicholas Burgess. If you enjoy The Carve, consider leaving a review in Apple Podcasts or tell a fellow hunter about us. If you'd like to support The Carve, you can do so at patreon.com/carvepodcast. For as little as $1 a month, you'll gain access to our Discord to bone up with other hunters who listen to the show. Big shoutouts to The Carve's Life Powder supporters, Rebecca C., Bastion D., Chris B., Kenley C., Armored, Jin, 8-Bit Core, Snake, Justin C., Gavin M., Kay, Austin B., Carly, and Brandon. Thank you all for listening.